This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Straight away, Bouwmeester. Slap shot, he scores! Jay Bouwmeester! Stick handle into the corner. Leave it. Pietrangelo, he scores! Alex Pietrangelo! Perron down the left wing. He'll go into the corner with it. Stick handle off the wall. He centers. They shoot. They score! Zach Sanford, the Salem, Massachusetts native, just put the Blues on top 4-0. 10 seconds remaining. Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. Raise them high. 5 seconds to go. And the time winds down. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Make some noise in that joint, man! 1, 2, 3! Let me see those hands again! Hell on the hop! Everybody jump! Jump!
Chris Kerber, Blues Radio Network, bring us out as the St. Louis Blues are your Stanley Cup champs after a 4-1 Game 7 victory up in Beantown last night. You know where you're at. It's Taz and the Moose, locked in 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Pete, Mike, across the way, good job, fellas. Bogus with your updates as we go right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. What's going on, Taz?
Good, Moose. What's going on, man? We got a great show here, and God, what a night for the St. Louis Blues fan faithful and for the Blues team itself. 52 years in the making, my man.
Yeah, 52 years to go from, you know, worst to first, you know, and yeah, to go from where they were in early January to now hoisting up Lord Stanley Cup, you know, dropping F-bombs on NBC last night after that game went final.
That was great.
Left and right before finally NBC. I mean, somebody
they
finally.
Figured it out.
No, they went to break. Yeah, and then finally exactly. They cut the microphone out after about four or five guys were dropping F-bombs galore. I mean, and like right into the microphone on the ice. I mean, boys, what are you doing here? Then you got Emmerich apologizing for it on national TV. wake up, smell the coffee here after the first one. After Ryan O'Reilly grabs the Stanley Cup, your rightful Conn Smythe Award winner, Taz is the MVP of the NHL postseason. After he gets it, immediately upon grabbing the cup, is dropping an F-bomb, and then drops like two more for everyone to hear. They should have at least done something to cut the audio at that point in time. But
figure that out.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it was crazy. It was unbelievable, but it was very funny. But the St. Louis Blues has 52 years, as you mentioned, never won a Stanley Cup. And to see, you know, everyone at the Enterprise Center watching that game as this one took place at TD, at the Garden, up there in B-Town, and to see them come out and withstand the initial rush by the Boston Bruins, you know, score the goal on the deflection by Ryan O'Reilly, then get the Pietrangelo goal, who's not a goal scorer, late in the first period, to take a 2-0 lead going into the opening intermission. The first intermission, you just got a sense and a feel that last night after what transpired that it was going to be a St. Louis Blues night. And Jordan Binnington
that kid's great. That
was absolutely fantastic in that opening period and throughout the course of the game. He was just tremendous.
And just keep in mind, folks, he's a rookie. I mean, he's a young guy. It was last year. He was like third or fourth on the depth chart for Providence. You know, for he wasn't even in the NHL technically. You know what I mean? As far as on a main team, and
he was a Bruins foreman.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was like third or fourth, seriously, on the depth chart. And here he is, just standing on his head in this series, playing amazing between the pipes. Jordan Binghamton, no doubt, tremendous major hand in the success here of the Blues this year. And really, this story is amazing for this franchise, and you just laid it out all perfectly, man. Like, you know, how bad they were, you know, what was it, like towards the middle end of January, whatever the hell it was.
Well, beginning of January.
Beginning of January, and it was just like, hey, and they just turned this thing around. I mean, it really is amazing. And once they went up 2-0 yesterday, last night I should say, you kind of felt like it took the air out of the Bruins at home. It did. I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Then when I think that third goal came like right after half, and it was like, phew, party's over. They just took the air completely out of the Bruins. Completely.
Oh, it was, they did. And really, Binghamton had a lot to do with it because, you know, coming out of the gate, the Bruins played like their heads were on fire and the St. Louis Blues did not. And you need your netminder to withstand that initial rush from Boston, you know, and be able to withstand that, keep it a scoreless game, which he did. And then the importance, as we talked about yesterday, Taz, as you asked the question to Dan Rosa from NHL.com, the importance of that first goal. And, you know, Ryan O'Reilly on the tip, right in front of the net, on the initial shot from the point by Jay Bouwmeester, gets it past Tuukka Rask. And as O'Reilly articulated after the game, you know, then we were able to play our game, which was keep everything from the outside. I think the defensive game plan from Craig Berube and his coaching staff and the game plan that was that was hashed out and really played out on the ice. Keep everything from the outside. Don't let them get inside. In reference to the Boston Bruins, you're able to play that style and fashion, Taz,
right.
And not be too risky when you're able to play from in front. And they were able to start to do that when they had the 1-0 lead. And then when they jump out 2-0, it's going to be that all that much more difficult for the Boston Bruins, who still had opportunities and chances to come back and at least, you know, make it a 2-1 game, tie the game up. And every time they had a decent to very good scoring chance, there was Binghamton to make the save for the St. Louis Blues. It's a remarkable story. I mean, one of the best, you know, first to worst, worst to first, I should say, stories almost, in the history of sports. It really is. To do something for the first time, anytime you're able to accomplish something and do it for the first time, you know, for an organization and a franchise to win their first Stanley Cup, it adds a little special quality. To do it for the first time in 52 years, Taz, in the history of the St. Louis Blues franchise, to go from where they were to where they are right now, it's absolutely remarkable. Even if you're not a hockey fan, to be able to accomplish that as a team and as an organization is just off the charts.
It really is, and you know, that's a combination, as you know, of in no particular order, great coaching, great leadership amongst, you know, veteran guys on the team. Obviously, a great fan base behind them. Ownership is dialed in. You know, front office management is dialed in. They're all cooking on the proverbial cylinders together. And they did that from the beginning of January all the way through the battle back, as you said, from worst to first. And then they hoist up the, you know, the Stanley Cup on the road in Boston in such a loyal fan base to the Bruins, you know, that really had to be cutting and just burn the you-know-what of those Boston Bruin fans watching that. I kind of felt good for me, to be honest. I got no dog in the fight, but I was rooting for St. Louis, dude.
Right, yeah. No, I get it. Listen, you know, so was my wife. My wife called me yesterday and says, can you make a play for me tonight? I go, yeah, who do you want? She goes, can you give me the St. Louis Blues tonight? I was like, yeah, sure, Donnie, you got it. Yeah, that's exactly right. Nice. So
everybody in the family's involved, I see.
What's that?
Everybody in the family's involved.
I was like, they're plus 165. She goes, oh, I think they're going to win. Plus, I don't want to see Boston celebrate anymore. I was like, all right, well, you're in. I got you.
Don and I on the same page.
That's how I felt. I'll get the play in for you. Yeah. So she was all over the Blues last night, plus the money, and they end up winning the game 4-1, Taz. And, you know, You know, we were talking about the historical impact for Boston, where they were going to have three franchises as your reigning champions, the Boston Red Sox, the New England Patriots, and then potentially here the Boston Bruins at one time with the, you know, the World Series trophy, the Vince Lombardi trophy, and the Stanley Cup, and they have fall short. The Bruins in game six at home, game sevens at home were, you know, were 6-1. I mean, yeah. So I mean, you know, you look at what the Blues were able to accomplish, and really for Binnington, how good he has been this year after losses. He's been, I think the number is 15-2 following a loss or a down performance, you know, including last night. It might be even 16-2, Taz. It's remarkable how he's able to be able to put away a bad performance, and he was bad. In game six in this series in St. Louis, as was the entire Blues team, as they got played off their feet by the Boston Bruins. But able to put that aside, Taz, and kind of circle the wagons and be able to refocus and put the performance they put together last night was really remarkable.
Tremendous.
For a rookie netminder that nobody thought that was going to be a superstar, nobody thought was going to be a starter in the National Hockey League, he made sure and he put himself in this position to give him an opportunity. Because of the Blues' struggles, he got the opportunity, and then when he stepped in, he was downright brilliant. In the regular season, they won 30 of their last 49 games. In the postseason, they came in as one of the hottest hockey teams in the National Hockey League, and they were able to survive very, very difficult and tough series, whether it be the Jets and the Sharks and whatever, and even this series against the Boston Bruins. And I thought, we both thought the Bruins were going to win this series.
Yeah.
I still think you look at Boston, they're probably a more talented hockey team. They just, unfortunately, ran into a hot netminder and a team that understood what they needed to do to win.
Well, you just said it right there, a hot netminder. You get a hot goalie, hot keeper. You know, when you get a guy like that who's playing, I don't care if it's hockey, lacrosse, soccer, you in anywhere there was a goalie involved, when you get one of a guy or a girl that's hot, it can shut down a potent offense, and that's what we saw. Look, you just laid it out a few minutes ago. I mean, the Bruins came out and the first just on fire.
Yeah.
They looked aggressive and everything. And this kid, Jordan Binnington, for a rookie, he took it on the chin and just kept battling back. You know what I'm impressed with him, this Moose, his athleticism in between the pipes. What he does athletically, just, you know, you think of a goalie, you don't think of someone who's athletic because they're wearing all this big, heavy gear on their bodies. Okay, but if you really watch the game and know a little bit about hockey or a lot of it about hockey, you realize athleticism is a huge part of being a great keeper. And that's what he is, how fast his hands are on his feet. He sees the puck. His defense works great around him. He's never screened by his own defenseman, which is great. I mean, rarely screened, I should say, not never. But, you know, he really, you know, he's something else, and hopefully he can just, now he's arrived. He's going to be known now forever. And where when he first came up and got out of that Bruins organization into the Blues organization, no one cared about him. No one gave a rat's you know what about him. And next thing you know, the kid is just a stud, definitely in the postseason and in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and as that city in St. Louis last night has celebrated, whether it be at the home of the Blues, whether it be at Busch Stadium, when that game went final, and watching everything play out, what is, you know, and we didn't know that. We had a couple calls from St. Louis talk about how big of a hockey town it is, and developing hockey talent has kind of grabbed foothold there, Taz. A city to being able to celebrate a championship, and to be able to win on road ice is even that much more sweeter as well. To do it when everybody thought the series was over and was going to go the Bruins' way makes it that much sweeter. You know, when you have that kind of end to this story, Taz, it's kind of indicative, and maybe we should have seen it with, you know, how do you discount the Blues? How do you say, well, they can't win? How do you look at a game in which a team came back from where they were and showed you the intestinal fortitude, whose head coach was fired in mid-November?
Right.
Bring in an interim coach. Fourth time in the last 11 years, by the way, a coach that has taken over a franchise middle part of the year in the National Hockey League regular season has been able to take that team and win a Stanley Cup. So Berube's now the fourth coach in the last 11 years.
Yeah.
He did a remarkable job. But, you know, with all that what they went through, Taz, it should not be surprising that that team played as well as they did last night up in Boston.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's just imagine, you talked about, you know, they were partying. They're probably still partying. The fans, the players.
I'm sure, yeah.
it really is. It is a tremendous story. And it's one of those towns. Look, we've talked a lot about St. Louis. It's just a great town. It's a great sports town. It's just a great town. And for those who've never been there, go there. It's just it's just a great city in our great country. And I'm happy for them. And let's be honest. Let's call it down the middle. Let's call it the way it is. The Boston sports fans hate to hate on you a little bit, but you need a little humbling. You need some humble pie. I mean, they win all the time.
Yeah,
Dan Rosa talked about that yesterday. What was it? He was like, yeah, no, a fan was saying to him, I think it was, like, oh, we really need this. It's like, need what? You just had a parade, a few weeks ago. I'm not exaggerating, but,
yeah.
they needed to be humbled. You're a Yankee fan. You understand this.
Right,
they
yes.
need humbling.
Everyone needs to be humbled, right?
Yes.
Everyone
Boston
needs
fans do.
No,
Boston fans need humbling.
They've won a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they've won a lot. And if you're a young Boston sports fan, all you've known is winning.
Yeah,
because that's all the Patriots have done. The Red Sox have done. The Bruins have won a lot. I mean, it's you've won. You've tasted a lot of victory if you're a young Boston fan.
Well, my son grew up a Met Jet fan. How's he doing? You know what I mean, how's that?
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
Then he left the Mets to your Yankees.
Right.
So when he was old enough to make his own decisions.
I feel worse for the Jet fan that's been a fan since Joe Namath than your son.
I know. Well, you're right.
Who's been waiting, who's dealt with a lot more pain.
That's true.
You know, your son's 19, 20 years of age.
Right.
He's still a very young man. And he can also, he can also flip it over. I feel bad for the guy that's been rooting for a perennial loser.
No, you're right. Yeah,
what about the Knicks fan? The Knicks fan hasn't tasted a championship since the 70s.
That's my brother-in-law. He's an older guy, and he's been a Knicks fan his whole life.
Right.
He's miserable all the time.
the closest I got was Game 6 against the Rockets and the block shot by Akeem off Starks, and then they imploded in Game 7. I'm a lifelong Knicks fan. I agree with you. It's tough, you're right. For the young fan out there.
But yeah, because you mentioned up in New England. That's how they grew up.
I agree with you. And then you get a little bit. You know, you get a little bit kind of cocky or arrogant.
Correct.
That this comes along with the territory, where maybe you don't appreciate it as much.
That's my point.
So yes, your son will appreciate it when they finally win.
Yeah. Well, he's taking after his old man. He's kind of getting away from the Jets.
No,
he's getting away from the Jets a little bit.
Now he's getting away from the Jets. Now they have a clue.
I know.
Tell your son, don't jump off the jet bandwagon now. They're actually going to be good.
I told him. I said, they're going to be pretty good.
Don't do it now.
Yeah.
Come over to the Bills.
Well, no, he won't do that. He thinks I'm out of my mind. He would go to the Browns. Because even though he wasn't a Giant fan, he liked Beckham.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, he did. So he would do that. And he loves Mayfield, too.
Well, that's good.
Front runner.
Who doesn't love Mayfield?
Yeah, I know. You got to love him.
Here's Craig Berube, the interim head coach for the St. Louis Blues, talking about this team's will.
We went through a lot as a team, and we ended up battling our way into the playoffs. So then you start to think about what can happen now. So, but we had to get there first of all.
What says the Conn Smythe Award winner? How good was he, Taz? How about Ryan O'Reilly?
Yo, most of these guys on here, I pretended I was as a kid, and now to be on there with them, it's an incredible feeling. There's so many people to thank, and I'm just so proud of this group and myself too. I can't believe that. We hung on and got this done.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing victory for the St. Louis Blues. How about for the Boston Bruins? So obviously despair last night. Here's Bruce Cassidy. What do you tell his team after the game?
There's nothing I can really say in this moment, I believe, other than I was proud of them. They should walk out of here with their heads up. That's it. There's no long speech. There just isn't. I'll have an opportunity to catch up with the players in the next little while, but right now, they don't want to hear anything from me.
I respect that.
What was he going to say?
You just got to let it sit a little bit. Then you regroup in a couple of weeks when the sting is gone.
Yeah,
that's the right way to go about it, I think. Yeah.
How about Tuukka Rask, Taz? We talked to Rosen yesterday, and he said, he loved the Bruins. He thought they were going to win Game 7. As did I. So, I thought
they were going to win too, man.
Yeah. But he also said he thought Rask would play brilliantly, and, he didn't. Especially when that game was 2-0. His team didn't play great in front of him either. Here's Tuukka on the disappointment.
I think it's going to make us feel better, so it's going to sting a while, and life goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it does go on. Wow. What says Patrice Bergeron?
Yep, yep.
Did you see after this game, after they did the handshake, Taz, Bruins are skating off the ice?
I didn't see that. I was counting sheep at that point.
Okay, so Bergeron is there, and he's not the captain of the team. Zdeno Chara, who looked, when he's taking his mouthpiece out of his mouth,
oof.
Sitting on the bench after this one went final, I just could feel the pain watching on the television set because he's playing with a game with a broken jaw.
How tough is that?
I mean, that's ridiculous. That really is. And I thought, honestly, I thought the jaw was like kind of wired. I mean, to play with a broken jaw is just it's an insane amount of pain threshold. But Bergeron, as you know, how guy, you know, you go to the bench area, you walk off the ice and go through the, you know, kind of the bench to the to the tunnel. Bergeron was the Bruin player there, standing there, patting everybody on the back as they went to the locker room, leaving the ice for the final time.
That's cool.
I thought it was a class act.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was a nice move for a guy that's a wonderful hockey player. Here's Bergeron after the game.
So close we were as a team, and there was no quit all year, and we battled, and right now it's whatever we say is doesn't matter because it is
where it is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what do you expect from the Bruins players? It's a gut-wrenching loss. They expected a win. They were a heavy favorite going into it. You know, they just could not solve Jordan Binnington consistently in this series. There were games that they did, and they were able to route him. But there were other games where they could not get a puck past Binnington. And then when you start to press, you get what transpired in that third period,
which
is goals 3 and 4 before they were able to net their first one.
A great goalie like Binnington as a young guy, rookie, will definitely pull the life out of a potent offense, and that's what he did. He shut them down. He shut the crowd down. He shut everything down. Did that awesome keeper. That kid is great, so he's got a great career ahead of him.
Yeah, he really does. And Taz, also a wonderful scene. We should not we'd be remiss if we did not mention the wonderful story of Layla Anderson, right? She has been diagnosed with a life-threatening immune disease disorder called HLH. The St. Louis Blues team brought her to the Garden and to Boston last night. Her and her mom were there watching it. She celebrated, she's kind of like the Blues super fan.
Yeah.
She celebrated and was able to kiss the Stanley Cup after this game went final. I mean, just
that's awesome. It's amazing.
When they showed her in the, the luxury box watching the game, it's really, if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, it's just a wonderful story. It really is.
Yeah, it's a great job. Amazing by the Blues to get her there and by the Bruins organization. You know, I'm sure they set her up the right way there, too,
though
she was a member. She was a guest of the Blues, because the organization.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, by both clubs,
No doubt. You're right about that.
She's a super fan.
Well, right, yeah.
Blues,
no, you're right.
You know what I mean, though.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, right, the Bruins. I mean, listen, you look at a young woman, girl that's going through, a life-threatening disease that's fighting for her life, that's a huge St. Louis Blues fan. Has become kind of like the focal point of Blues fandom out there in St. Louis. And to see her there and being able to celebrate and be with the Stanley Cup and celebrate it with the Blues team, it's just a wonderful story.
It really is. Yeah. Yep. Very much.
And here she is after this game, courtesy of Sportsnet.
I couldn't thank them enough. Even the whole town of hockey, all of the teams have supported me. Just the fans, they're so nice to me, even though they support a different team.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
That's cool.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, the whole hockey community is supporting this young lady. Yeah,
yeah, and up in Boston as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's great.
Taz, it was it's as good a... I was thinking about driving down the West Side Highway this morning. I don't know if I can, without having obviously it's always sweet when you're able to see your team win a championship, right?
Sure.
That day when the Bills finally do
really
a Taz,
I
think will be it'll be a glorious day.
I'll be 92
in the compound as Taz lights up a cigar and brings it to his lips. They did it. Right. I always knew Josh Allen was that kind of player.
Josh
I told
Allen
Moose when they drafted him. We did that draft show on CBS Sports Radio. He was going to be the guy. Exactly. I'm not a Blues fan. You're not a Blues fan. But with all things being said, it's really one of the great championships in recent memory. It really is. I mean, I think about the Red Sox coming back from 3-0 down on the Yankees and finally winning a championship. I think about the Yankees winning that championship in 96. The Rangers in 94 winning a Stanley Cup for the first time in 54 years, and Mark Messier and the guarantee and all the storylines going on there. I mean, I know every team that wins a title, there's great storylines. This Blues team is right there with any one of them.
Absolutely. And hopefully, in sports history. It doesn't get lost in, you know, because hockey doesn't play as well. You know what I mean? It's not as popular as the NFL, the NBA, or baseball. But, no, you're right. I mean, the Blues, this is amazing. This is going to go down in history as a great, great victory. To become Stanley Cup champs from being, you know, dead last to top dogs. It's great.
Oh, it is. It really is. 855-212-4227. I want to hear from you. Were you locked into Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last night? How good did you feel? Outside of the Boston area, and as Taz mentioned, they need to be a little humbled.
Oh, yes.
You know, the Bruins, the Boston fan thought that winning was just customary. Had to come along with the territory.
What's
the
next, so fast.
Right. What's the next title we're going to win?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's the attitude.
Exactly right. So how happy were you with the St. Louis Blues? How good of a story is this? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. And I just love the fact that Gloria is back in the fold. I love that song.
Oh, a little big hit from 1982, of course. No, I do. Who doesn't love that song? It's a great song.
It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
We're talking a lot about, obviously, Stanley Cup, the Blues.
Yeah.
St. Louis Blues are the champions. Let's go down to Baltimore. Talk to Jason. Listen on 1300 AM. Jason, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up?
Guys, good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Jason?
Hey, before I get to my point, I just wanted to say that I want to thank you guys for keeping me entertained on my otherwise very challenging commute to work every day. So great job. I appreciate it. I listen on the radio.com app when I get into my office. So I want to thank you guys for that.
Oh, thanks, appreciate Jason. We appreciate that, Jay, man.
Side note, I've had the opportunity many times in my life driving through the area of Baltimore and the suburbs of Baltimore. And, dude, I haven't driven during a morning commute, but I could imagine how miserable that is. I'm just telling you.
Well, it's 60 and raining right now, so add that to the mix, and then that's what you get. So I'm sitting last night, and I'm watching the game, and my wife is on the couch with me. And I looked at her, and I said, they are peppering the living bejesus out of this guy, meaning Boston. Right. And St. Louis is going to come back, and they're going to get a goal when you do not expect it at all, and that's exactly what happened on the tip in there. And then the second goal was Marchand goes off the ice. It was a bad line change. His guy ends up getting the puck and scores a goal to put it 2-0.
Jason, how about you mentioned Marchand? He tried to get off the ice.
Yeah.
And the defenseman that he was going to get off the ice for wasn't ready to come on the ice. So he had to stay
on the ice.
So Marchand tried to get off, and he couldn't get off. And then all of a sudden, you have Brent Marchand playing defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you want.
That's not his
forte. So
guy.
After they got that second goal, you could see St. Louis just settle in and play that forechecking, that heavy hitting, that style that keeps everything to the outside. And it almost seemed as if St. Louis had an extra skater out there the whole rest of the game. Boston couldn't get anything. You know, and they finally got that. They finally got that goal to make it 4-1, and I'm happy for St. Louis because I'm a Caps fan, and I know what it's like to suffer a long time and go through years of disappointment.
Yes.
You know, before you finally get to that point. And just one more thing, just the class of hockey players. You know, you spoke of the story about the little girl that's very sick, and you know, hockey teams do that a lot for kids that are going through things like that. And during the post game interviews with McGuire and Petrangelo, he talked about what it meant to him to put that jersey on and how much respect and honor and pride that he felt wearing that jersey and going to work with those guys every day. And, you know, you don't hear that a lot in post-game
pro sports in general, in pro sports. Yeah, you don't hear that much. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And Jason, we appreciate the call. Thank you,
it's
man.
It's just different.
Yeah,
Jason's right. It's different. And you could tell, he's a, you know, obviously a Caps fan that was celebrating a year ago when they hoisted up the Stanley Cup, Taz. It's just hockey players are different. They are, if you're around them, they're different than other guys. They're very, you know, very approachable, easygoing guys for the most part. I understand there's going to be some outliers, but I'm generalizing here. I think for the accomplishment, you know, and everything that goes along with winning a Stanley Cup. I mean, think about this. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, Taz, he wins the Conn Smythe Award when he's playing with rib injury last night. I mean, he's playing with busted up ribs. I mean, the pain threshold and what guys are willing to do.
Right.
You know, I remember Ryan McDonough when the Rangers got eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning Game 7. We're going back a couple years ago. Now he's a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm. You know, he's playing with a broken foot.
Yeah, that's it.
He was freezing his foot to be able to get his foot
like
in the
club.
In the boot before, in the skate before the game.
Yeah.
And be able to deal with the pain of being able to skate on what was a fractured or broken foot. I mean, that's remarkable.
It's another level
that.
Of toughness.
It's insane.
Man. It really is. You don't see that much, you know. Well, speaking of tough, I know Andrew just walked in. We'll get to him in a second. You don't see that level of toughness like Major League Baseball. Baseball players get ripped all the time. They're not tough. But I got to say, I got to give credit to, what's his name, from your Yankees. He cut his lip open, and they stitched him up without anesthesia. Gardner, he got his lip, he threw his helmet. I don't know.
Bounced back, hit him in the face, splits
his lip open.
Yep.
He goes to get stitched up. He don't want any anesthesia.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve it.
There you go.
On multiple fronts. He's
and,
a Yankee, and he did it to himself.
Of Andrew Bogus, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Comes in hot. Yeah. Comes in hot.
I mean, we do have Zdeno Chara playing with a broken jaw.
Right.
It's hard to compare, you know.
Yeah.
A couple stitches to the lip of Brett Gardner.
Because you spiked your helmet off a wall and it came back and got you.
It was funny. He hit him right in the lip.
No, I know.
And Keith Hernandez told the story, because I was watching Mets Yankees, you know, that doubleheader. He told the story about it. He did the same thing when he was playing. But it was, I don't remember who was one of the coaches. It wasn't with the Mets. Maybe it was with the Cardinals. He did the same thing. He threw it, and it hit the manager right in the head, the helmet.
That's funny.
He said he looked
at David Johnson.
I think it might have been, yeah. And he was like, he's like, oh my God, I'm deep, you know what? You're sorry, Skip.
That's funny. That's great.
That's funny, right?
What's going on, Andrew?
All right, guys, here's your report. Sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today. Boston's domination of the sports world put on hold last night, the city having to settle for just the Red Sox and Patriots being champs for the time being, because the St. Louis Blues are the best team on ice. A 4-1 win in Game 7 in Beantown, with two of their goals coming late in the first period, despite the Bruins dominating. Rookie goalie Jordan Binnington made 12 of his 32 saves in those first 20 minutes. Ryan O'Reilly scored one of those first period goals, had an assist as well. He's your Conn Smythe Trophy winner as playoff MVP. The Blues and the Stanley Cup have arrived back in St. Louis. The party is going to be intense, said forward Patrick Maroon on Westwood One.
This city's waited for 49 freaking years, and we did it. This parade's going to be absolutely nuts. They've been behind us all year when we were down in the dumps. They stuck behind us, and we did it.
Maroon
is kind of reminds me of hearing that. Moose says, mine's with Mikey B after, like, every show, how emotional he is, how great the broadcast was by you and I.
Yeah.
That same type of emotion. That reminded me of.
You guys should hear him at, like, 9:05 on Friday when you're both out of the building and
when Mike cracks open the champagne.
Yep.
Shower with me. Naked cartwheels.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sounded like Mike. Oh, just guys are great.
That's what I thought of. I thought of Visseglia after every show. When I heard
they look alike too.
They do exactly like.
Built similarly.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's actually season number 51 of Blues hockey. Now they have their first Stanley Cup. Maybe the Raptors get their first NBA title tonight, or maybe the Warriors force Game 7 in Toronto over the weekend. Tip-off of Game 6 at Oracle just after 9 Eastern tonight. Kevin Durant watches from a New York hospital after having his ruptured Achilles tendon repaired yesterday. Klay Thompson thinking of his teammate.
We do it for Kevin. We do it for Kay. We know I can tell you this, he wants us to compete at the highest level. And we'll think of him every time we step on the hardwood.
Now, Durant's future could include joining forces with Kyrie Irving this summer. Irving reportedly switching agents ahead of free agency. He'll soon be working with Jay-Z's Roc Nation. And the Pelicans could trade Anthony Davis by next week's draft. The Lakers and Celtics reportedly engaged in separate talks with New Orleans. It may come down to how much the Pels value the Lakers' number four pick. Dominican police now have six men, including the alleged shooter, in custody in connection to David Ortiz's shooting on Sunday night. Still no motive provided, but police say the price for shooting Ortiz was just under $8,000. As for baseball, it took a while, but the Brewers got a win in Houston.
Perez brings home the pitch. Moustakas, a drive, deep right center, way gone! Off the LED signage. In the second deck, Moustakas with number 21, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
It's Jeff Levering on Brewers Radio. 6-3, the final.
Mark Melusis.
In 14.
Yes.
You ever run into Mark Melusis?
In Houston.
Mark Melusis.
Milwaukee winning.
Mark Melusis.
Despite striking out 24 times.
You ever run into Mark Melusis?
Including Pete, 15. To do a show. Against Justin Verlander over the first seven innings. The Mariners fought off the Twins 9-6 and 10. The Giants a 4-2 win over the Padres. The Marlins smacked the Cardinals 9-0 to end a six-game skid. And the Braves down the Pirates 8-7 and 11. Atlanta has won six in a row as a season-high 10 games over 500. The Tennessee Titans will retire Steve McNair and Eddie George's numbers at their home opener September 15th. And the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach begins later today. Rory McIlroy, the first big name on the course, he tees off at 10:51 Eastern time. Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth among those with afternoon tea times.
It's going to be amazing.
Cannot wait.
Sam Liguori Jones. There it is.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great
My
job.
My pleasure, Moose.
Let's head out to Springfield, Missouri. It's Austin. It's Taz and the Moose. What's going on, Austin?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning,
what's up,
Austin?
Man?
Oh, man, I can't even really put into words just how excited I was to wake up. It almost felt like it just didn't actually happen. So I'm very happy as a Blues fan waking up this morning. You know, Bennington's performance, not only last night, but this season, reminded me of Kurt Warner back in 1999.
Ooh, yeah,
you know, yeah, a guy that played for, you know, a no-name team and came into the league and, you know, nobody knew who the guy was and what to expect, but, you know, really saved, you know, the Rams don't win that Super Bowl without Warner and the Blues don't win without Bennington. But, you know, it's just a big win for the city of St. Louis, and, you know, just as a St. Louis sports fan, you know, it's really been lingering since, you know, the Rams left, you know, because Stan Kroenke, you know, he said things like, you know, St. Louis wouldn't be a suitable enough team for a football team. So, and to see the whole city, like the Cardinals, you know, rallying around the team, like if you looked at Yadier Molina's Instagram last night, the Cardinals hung around in the clubhouse after the loss last night to watch the rest of the Blues game. So it was just very heartwarming.
That's cool. Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah.
And I just can't wait for the parade whenever, I can't remember what day that is, well, but it's going to be very exciting.
Congratulations, dude.
Yeah, congratulations, Austin. Austin, how old are you?
23.
So you've been a lifelong Blues fan. Did you ever, when did you start to think, you know, when this team, you know, they bring in Berube, they fire head coach mid-November, you know, January 3rd, point-wise, the worst team in the NHL. When did you start to think, though, that maybe, you know, you got a chance to do a little damage in the postseason? When did you start to believe in this Blues team?
I would say probably, I think, I can't remember what month it was, but I want to say like late February. They really started to go, they went on, oh my gosh, can't remember how long the win streak was, but I was definitely, you know, chugging that Kool-Aid whenever that was going on. So I would say like late February, early March. And, you know, when they made it to the postseason, I felt more confident than I ever have as a Blues fan.
And rightfully, hey, Austin, congratulations. Enjoy it all.
Thank you,
I mean, it's awfully sweet.
Great,
it really
great
is.
Stuff, man. Happy for you, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate
to see
it.
Your team win a championship. And Taz, he hit upon something I thought was really, you know, a great point by Austin there. You know, got to remember, and you know, you forget about it. You know, St. Louis, you know, loses an NFL franchise to where their owner can't wait to get them to Los Angeles, what is going to be a, you know, a brand spanking new city, to see what the Rams are under McVay, and basically as a city be told, you're not good enough.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we're going to be more profitable someplace else. We're going to go someplace else, and You know, I know there's a lot that goes in that relationship between, you know, the NFL Kroenke and the fan base out in St. Louis and building the stadium and everything and the like. But, I mean, to have that happen and then to be able to win a title, it's got to be awfully sweet. You know, Rams Blues Cardinals fan, and your Rams leave town, and you're like, all right, well, we've got the Cardinals and we've got the Blues, and see the Blues win a Stanley Cup. It's got to be sweet.
Yeah, man, no doubt. I wanted to ask Austin Budzinski. He lived in Springfield, Missouri. I know it's about 200 miles, maybe 225, 230 miles to St. Louis. I wonder if he's going to go to the parade, take the drive.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Take the drive in.
I would. Yeah, 52 years.
You gotta
if I
get
could.
The car.
I mean, obviously, people have jobs and everything like that. But
yeah, you take
if,
off.
If you can afford, if you can make it work, you see, because there's nothing like the first. I'll be honest. There's nothing like when you see
your team. Been to the parade, like a Yankee parade?
I was at the Yankee parade in 96. I was at game 6 in 96 when they won it. And I was at the Ranger parade in 94. I was at game 7.
I've never done any of that. I'm not kidding. I've never been to any parade. I've never been to any World Series. Meanwhile, my son's been to 2 World Series. How's that?
Been to 2, and you've never been to 1.
Yeah, yeah. He went to a Dodgers game last year in L.A.
Right.
And then when the Yankees were playing, he was there. Was it the Yankees? Yeah, the Yankees. Yeah, yeah.
Well, but he hasn't been one for the team he roots for.
But
he didn't go in 15?
No, he did go in 15. Yes, he did.
Go in 15?
Oh, me? No. No, I don't go to nothing. No.
Well,
I stay in the yard, bro.
Well, then the why...
I don't go.
Wait a second. You start the conversation saying you believe he's gone to games and I haven't. Then I ask you, well, why didn't you go in 15? You're like, I don't go.
Dude, he got
hurt. Well, then you can't be surprised if you don't go to World Series games if you have already made the decision that you don't go.
No, he's got hookups, though, bro. He's hooked. He's got all sorts.
Come on, stop.
I'm telling you.
Stop. Up. You're the great Taz.
Yeah, I used to be. Now.
No, no.
I'm a slug.
Stop. What am I? I'm here now to pump you up. I'm your hype man this morning.
Come on, I need it.
All right, I'll pump you up. You got it. 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Just so you know, Moose, I know you got some business there, but Austin, we got an update in Springfield, Missouri. He is going to St. Louis to
the parade.
The parade, he is.
Yes. Yes.
Mikey B looked into it, talked to him, right? We're good? Yes, that's it.
Yeah, he's planning to make the trip.
Only facts here on Taz and Moose.
Good. Only facts. And rightfully, if you could make it work, I'd go. It's fun.
It.
Enjoy, to the victor go the spoils. And you should do it. Should do a lot of, fascinating storylines. The personal, the quest for the cup. You know, Marcus Johansson, right, on the Boston Bruins. Longtime Washington Capital, right? Traded from the Caps to the New Jersey Devils, right?
Yep.
Caps won the Stanley Cup last year, right? Caps, now he's traded from the Devils to the Boston Bruins. On the Bruins last night, they got a shot of him after that game went final on the bench. With his basically head, slumped into his chest or into his knees, like kind of resting on the sideboard, Taz.
Yeah.
And, he's got to be saying to himself, what must I be thinking? What must I be doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of those Capitals that you thought about. Then he was gone. He was a Devil. Now he's a Bruin, that close to the Stanley Cup, and to fall short. See, when you look at a guy like, Tuukka Rask and Zdeno Chara, Taz, those guys have won Stanley Cups before.
Right.
To the Bruin players that haven't, that have been close veterans, David Backes, who didn't suit up last night, 35 years of age, was a captain for the St. Louis Blues, played for them for 10 years, has been a Bruin for the last three, 35, no longer the player he once was, didn't dress last night. How about much you feel if you're David Backes? You were the captain of that team.
10 years
and
on one squad.
You played for the Blues for 10 years. You've been a Bruin for the last 3 years, Taz. But you're watching that St. Louis team
celebrate
win a championship
the cup.
And celebrate and hoist up the Stanley Cup, and you'd even dress.
Yeah, that's gotta suck. Yeah, that's suckage. Yeah, no, that's
any way you cut it. But there's those kind of storylines.
Yeah, they're deep with layers into the rosters. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, no doubt about it. Maroon, I think, a St. Louis native, doing his thing for the Blues. I mean, it's just remarkable. It really is.
It really is. It's a great story. And we'll be talking about it. There's a lot of people calling the show want to talk about the Blues. It's great.
They want to talk some Blues hockey following their championship last night. More than welcome. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hop on board. Taz and the Moose with you. An hour down. We're taking it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We got a lot to get into. We'll get into the latest with KD. Game 6 NBA Finals. U.S. Open Pebble Beach gets going today. Action-packed Taz Moose. CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.